quite early one morning. It hit me without warning. I went to hear the latest Columbia House Party single. Jake, what's up, man?
Not much. I feel like this is a big week for you on Columbia House Party.
Yes, it is. We are coming off of not to age these because they should stand alone on their own, but we're coming off of a Bright Eyes episode, our episode number 42 on August 17th, and we are heading into a Phoebe Bridgers episode on August 24th. That'll be episode 43 for us. You know the concept of these singles by now. They allow us to either pull from those main episodes or do something random or adjacent. So if we're transitioning between Bright Eyes and Phoebe Bridgers on the main episodes, it might make sense to bridge those with their collaborative project, Better Oblivion Community Center. Yes, Jake, this is a big week for me. Better Oblivion Community Center was an album that I think I liked more than the average Bright Eyes or Phoebe fan. I know that you had some feelings about it as well, where how it stood up to compared to a Bright Eyes album or compared to a Phoebe album or Conor Oberst's solo stuff. We're going to get into our takes on the album itself at the very end. But before we dive in, Jake, did you ever read any Dylan Thomas poetry?
I did not. Despite the fact that I was an English major, I did my best in school to avoid poetry as much as I could.
So wait, you're an English major who, as we've admitted on this podcast before, was into Bukowski and you didn't find your way to Dylan Thomas.
Yeah. So technically I was a writing major, which was sort of like English major plus. Or English major minus, I guess, because I had to take less lit classes and more writing classes. But there was kind of three tracks, and you picked two of them. So there was like drama writing, fiction writing, and poetry writing, and you picked two. And I didn't pick poetry because poetry, like, I know this is going to, I'm outing myself here as an uncultured swine, but like, I've never really gotten poetry, I won't lie. Which is weird because I'm such like a big lyric music guy. Yeah,
it doesn't line up. It's just music on paper.
Yeah, and maybe I'm sure, and like, to be fair, I'm sure if I read a lot of like the great stuff now that I like have an open mind to things, I would probably really enjoy it. But it's just never been a thing that I actively sought out, and definitely wasn't a thing I sought out in university. So, which is probably my mistake, and I probably would have enjoyed it and probably found a lot of like fulfillment in it. But I'm, as we've established, I'm stupid. So,
that's not true, Jake.
Well, but no, I never read any Dylan Thomas poetry.
I am going to, the next time we see each other, I'm going to bring you some Edna St. Vincent Millay and Leonard Cohen and Mary Oliver and see what sticks. I mean, I think you like Leonard Cohen's music, you'll like his poetry. And if you like The Hotelier a lot, that's basically just their attempt to do Mary Oliver poems as songs. So
I have actually read Leonard Cohen's poetry and I do quite like it.
Okay. All right, we're only loosely talking about Dylan Thomas today. That is the name of one of the songs from Better Oblivion Community Center. For a little background on that band, Connor and Phoebe first met when Phoebe Bridgers performed at a secret showcase at the Bootleg Theater in LA in 2016 that Connor Oberst was hosting. Connor then featured on Would You Rather from Stranger in the Alps, which is Phoebe Bridgers' first album, as well as an elite Connor Oberst vocal performance. They then decided to work together for a bigger project. And in 2019, they released the self-titled EP Better Oblivion Community Center, complete with a performance of this song on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. This is the third song off the album. It is about Dylan Thomas, the Welsh poet who died at 39. This is Dylan Thomas by Better Oblivion Community Center.
On the
that song came about, Jake, is, or I guess first how the band kind of came about. As Phoebe Bridgers told Entertainment Weekly, "My favorite albums are ones that aren't one tone. They're cohesive. You know, like I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, the Bright Eyes album. There's a song for everybody on it. There are fast songs, folk songs, sad songs. I wanted this to feel almost like a fucking musical. There's something about it that's connected, but it's not just 10 of the same songs." She later told NPR that she's in a band with Connor and she's stolen from him a lot in my life. I've actually kind of straight up plagiarized him before and he roasts me about it all the time. But I think that my favorite part of collaborating is it's very uncertain when I'm by myself. I feel like this with my personality too, where I don't quite feel like a person unless I'm performing myself for someone a little bit. I think that goes into collaborating, where you save your best ideas to show off, to be a great version of yourself. Phoebe Bridgers has, as we're going to talk about on Monday, gotten excellent use of that throughout her career in collaborations with Conor Oberst, with Julian Baker and Lucy Dacus in Boy Genius, with Jackson Browne on a remake of Christmas Song. She's really, really been aggressive earlier in her career doing these collaborations and expanding herself that way. Jake, your thoughts on Dylan Thomas and on the Better Oblivion Community Center project in general?
I love it. I think I'm like you in that I think we liked it more than perhaps others did. Other than I would say outside of the Desaparecidos record from whenever that was, 2015, this was my favorite Connor project since the last Bright Eyes record in 2011. And as someone who, when this came out, I didn't really know Phoebe's music that well. Like, I think I'd mostly heard of her through you and your Twitter, to be honest. But then I remember when they did the performance on The Late Show, I was like, oh, okay, I know that name and I know people really like her and oh, it's Connor's got a new thing. Okay, cool. And then I really liked it. And I think this album's great. Like and not to spoil too much for Monday, but I don't always love all of Phoebe's music, which I do think I might've been a little too negative on in the episode, but to sort of, balance that, I really like everything she does here. And like, it's not, I don't want that to sound like I'm like, oh, it's because Connor's there that I like it. Cause I don't. I think her contributions to this record are amazing. And I really like this record. And I don't know. And I hope that the Bright Eyes record coming out kind of sounds like this.
The Bright Eyes record, by the way, which comes out today, if you're listening to this on the first day it came out, August 21st. So check that out and check out our Bright Eyes episode from August 17th. Again, that's episode 42 on the main feed. Why Dylan Thomas? Well, when they were recording this album at a house, there was a book of Dylan Thomas poetry there. It was the last song written for the album. They already had 9 done, and they were fine with that. But they were a couple days out from recording, and Phoebe was playing around with a voice memo of the melody. And then, as she said, Connor was thinking about a bunch of dark shit, and we finished it in the night. Pretty much fits the Connor, and it fits the Phoebe parts of this. I think it's one of the best written songs on the album. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why it's my favorite is it's the most Phoebe song, I think, songwriting wise, even though my favorite line, "I'm getting used to these dizzy spells," is like a Connor self-referential line from his solo stuff. But yeah, I'm a big fan. As Phoebe told Office Magazine, Better Oblivion was supposed to be a band that sounded like The Replacements, and we just did not do that, but we tried, and that's why it was cool. So I really like failing at ideas and hearing stuff that I like and trying to recreate it and not succeeding. We're gonna take a look at how others receive this after this. All right, so Jake, like we mentioned, there were some people at least who didn't like this as much as a Phoebe project or as a Connor project as we did. I had it pretty high on my year end and my decade list. It did get a 7.7 from Pitchfork, though, and that write-up included a nice note from Connor to Phoebe from when they first met that said, "I think lots of people will find good comfort in your songs. They are soothing and empathetic, which I know I need more of in my life." That's very nice. It seems like they have a nice friendship.
It does. And I think that I like that in the sense that I think, to sort of his point in that note, I think a lot of people look to her songs in 2020 in very similar ways that people look to his songs in like 2005.
Yeah,
from like a from a personal standpoint, which I think is great.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. And who knows what this new Bright Eyes that maybe by the time you're listening to this, you've already heard sounds like. But, you know, Phoebe's already followed Better Oblivion with a really, really great sophomore album. So, Jake, I'm curious, you know, we've talked about some collaborations or quote unquote supergroups on these singles episodes before, and it's a tough needle to thread. You know, we discussed a couple weeks ago, Two Tongues, the Say Anything Saves the Day collaboration, where you kind of just came away, you know, wishing that it had been one or two songs featuring each other and that otherwise they'd just given you a Say Anything and a Saves the Day album. This is, I think where this succeeded was that it was different. It struck the right balance between being different from their own projects and being too far from it, where, you know, this is not out of Connor's wheelhouse. He does add that little twang that I thought I invented the term Yeemoha when when this album first came out. And then I found out that Casey Musgraves said Yeemo all the time and I felt really dumb. But yeah, it's also, you know, a lot of these songs, I think the songs that I don't like as much on the album are kind of, to me, they're Phoebe songs that maybe would have been better if Connor just produced them or something like that. But overall, it's all, you know, they strike that balance and it's a tough one.
Yeah. And I think sort of Phoebe's note that they set out to make something that sound like The Replacements, I don't think they missed the mark as much as she thinks they did. Like, this definitely doesn't sound like, you know, Stink, Sorry Ma era Replacements, but like I hear a lot of All Shook Down, Westerberg solo stuff era in this record, which is also maybe why I like it so much. But I don't think they missed the mark by that much. And I think that works to both of their styles. And like Connor is able to sort of, that's going to sound stupid and reductive, I realize before I'm saying it, but like Connor's able to like sort of pick Phoebe's music up a bit and she's able to like calm his down a little bit. And I just think I don't think that's a perfect comparison, but I think they balance each other out really well.
Jake, stop minimizing your own opinions before you share them. The reason we have a music podcast is so you can share those opinions. And that's the reason that people are listening to them. So your opinions are valid and valued, Jake.
Fair enough.
Guys, your opinions are valued as well, in the form of things like rating, reviewing, subscribing, patreon.com/Columbia House Party, feedback, all that great stuff. We appreciate you listening to the latest Columbia House Party single. Be sure, if you haven't yet, to go check out our Bright Eyes episode from this past Monday, the new Bright Eyes album that's out on August 21st, and our Phoebe Bridgers episode that's coming next week. Jake, thank you so much, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Fish.